The gospel of Christ is a call to leave a self-centered, self-absorbed life. It is a call to turn to God for true satisfaction. The gospel is a call out to stop looking into yourself for meaning, purpose, and satisfaction. It's a call to turn to God who can give you meaning, purpose, and satisfaction. And in this sense, the gospel is in constant opposition to the spirit of the age, the spirit of our culture, where everything is about me, myself, and I. So let me remind you today that you are constantly in the midst of this culture, constantly being tempted to live for yourself, a self-centered, self-absorbed life. In fact, the three enemies of the Christians, and therefore also the three enemies of the gospel, the devil, the world, and the self, are constantly enticing you to live a life, a self-centered, self-absorbed life. Now, the thing is that when we do that, when we fall into that temptation, when we turn from God to ourselves, we start using everything for our own selfish gain. We start using our spouse for ourselves, our kids for ourselves, our friends for ourselves, our jobs for ourselves, our time for ourselves, the church for ourselves, the ministry for ourselves. And even God, we try to use him for ourselves. So in a society where the son of the me, myself, and I has become the new creed, we may be tempted to forget that the gospel is a call to live a selfless life, and to even die to ourselves. It is a call to turn to God who can truly satisfy. The text that we are about to read for our sermon today speaks to this truth. And as we read it, let us consider our ways. So I'll invite Mark Stover to come, please, and read from the book that we love so dearly.
Good morning. I'll be reading Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 from the English Standard Version. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on their labors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mark. Good morning. If this is your first time here at Ironworks, please don't panic. It's not the rapture that took place. It's just that a lot of the ladies from church are still in their at the women's retreat, and that's why we are a few today. My name is Roman Gonzalez. I am the assistant pastor here at Ironworks, and this morning I want to share with you, and hopefully by the end of my sermon, you will be able to see that the gospel saves you from a self-centered life, and also it enables you to live for the glory and the pleasure of God. The gospel has the power to do that, and that's what we are going to be considering today. So my first point, the first point that I want to share with you is, as I consider the things that as a church, the thing as a people of God, we constantly hear outside the church, as I consider that, I see that as a way of proclaiming, the church. The church is not the only entity that has a creed. The world, the culture also has a creed. And the creed of the culture, the modern creed, is a self-centered creed. We hear about that constantly in our culture. So that's why I want to talk about this. So it is the year 520 BC, and the Jewish have nearly 20 years of having returned from exile in the Promised Land. But there is a problem. They have stopped rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. 18 years earlier, if you recall the story, the Persian Emperor Cyrus issued a decree that allowed the Jewish people, the Jewish exile, to return to Judah. And he also gave them permission to rebuild their temple. And now, almost 20 years later, the temple of God remains in ruins. Look at what the text says. What the people are saying is, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Now, the one purpose they were allowed to return to Jerusalem was to rebuild the temple. And almost 20 years later, they haven't finished the work yet. Actually, in fact, the only thing that they did, according to the book of Ezra, is that they laid out their foundations, and then they stopped the reconstruction of the temple. They say the time has not yet come. So rather than building or rebuilding the temple, they have turned into their self-centered, self-absorbed way of living. And they are busying themselves with beautifying their own houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins. So God rebukes them and says, is it a time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? And with this message, God points out their sins of spiritual lethargy. Why? Why are they living at this time such a self-absorbed life? From the context of the book of Haggai, I can give you at least two reasons. The first one is discouragement and fear for opposition. The people of Israel, according to the book of Ezra, the group of Jewish who came to rebuild the temple face opposition from the enemy. So they are or were discouraged and then are also afraid. So they stopped the reconstruction of the temple. That is one reason why they stopped the rebuilding of the temple. They faced opposition, and now they are discouraged, and they are also in fear. The second reason, and this is more an interpretation, the Bible doesn't say it, but I think the second reason is their lack of faith. And why I'm saying this is because Haggai is careful in mentioning dates. You know, Haggai starts his book saying, in the year so, when the ruler so-and-so was ruling. And the reason that I believe Haggai is doing that is because he is highlighting the end of the Babylonian captivity. The 70 years of captivity have come to an end. And the remnant now is allowed to return to Jerusalem, and God is about to fulfill his promises of restoration. And he is beginning with the rebuilding of the temple. But it seems that opposition, disappointment, and fear are keeping the Jewish people from the rebuilding of the temple. It seems that they are doubting that God will fulfill his promises of restoration, so there is no hurry for them to rebuild the temple. Now, I want you to see what's going on here. I want you to see that discouragement and fear led them to spiritual apathy. It's not that they came back from the Babylonian captivity and they said, we are not going to do anything. Actually, the book of Ezra mentions that there was a lot of joy and celebration when the people of Israel laid out the foundations of the temple. But soon after that, they stopped. And they stopped because they were discouraged and they were fearful. And discouragement and fear led them to spiritual apathy and to self-absorption. Dear friends, let us be careful when feeling discouragement and fear, as they can also lead us to spiritual apathy. Let us be careful of our lack of faith. We can also lead us to live a self-centered life. Discouragement and fear can become distractions which keep us from focusing on what has eternal value. My second point is that the modern creed shows itself to be disappointing. And that's what Israel is also experiencing. Israel, like us, soon learned that a self-centered life cannot offer true satisfaction. Verse 5 says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then verse 6 says, you have sown much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. In other words, Haggai is describing the resulting emptiness, the resulting lack of satisfaction, and the sense of unfulfillment related to a self-centered, self-absorbed life. It is like going to a well or fountain of water, but there is no water. They are walking on the road of inner satisfaction and finding disappointment and frustration. They are learning that living for themselves rather than for God is futile. The self-centered life is in and of itself incapable. It is powerless to give us real fulfillment and satisfaction. It is disappointing. Dear friends, Ironworks Church, the false gospel that our culture preaches, the creed of the me, myself, and I, is utterly disappointing in the end. It can bring satisfaction. In his book, The Ethics of Authenticity, philosopher Charles Taylor discusses three malaises of modernity. And all the three of them are a result of individualism, the creed of modernity. These malaises are, one, the loss of meaning, two, the loss of purpose, and three, the loss of freedom. And he basically argued that when our society turned to then self to individualism, we lost the sense of meaning, the sense of purpose, and the sense of freedom. In looking for meaning, we lost it. In looking for purpose, we lost it. In trying to achieve more freedom, we became more and more enslaved. Let me expand a little bit more on the three of them. This means that the more we focus on ourselves, the less meaningful our lives are. We don't know the meaning of our lives because we are so isolated, so deep in our minds that we don't care about anything else or anyone else. And ultimately, we lose meaning. We lose, the meaning that being part of a community gives us. Number two, the more we focus on ourselves, the less purposeful our lives are. If all that matters is me, myself, and I, then there is not a higher purpose to live for or something worth dying for. People, according to Tyler, people do not have a sense of higher purpose. And there is a tremendous lack of passion. Have you felt that way? Dear friends, if we turn to ourselves, or if you turn to yourself, you may find it enjoyable at the beginning. But in the end, you will have no passion. And then number three, the more we focus on ourselves, the less freedom we have. And this is because Tyler describes it as our generation, the me generation, the narcissistic generation, as being so enclosed in our own hearts, and this is me, to the point that we have become captives of our own hearts. And the paradox is that in seeking freedom, we lost it. And this is pretty much what the people of Israel is experiencing. They are working and looking and putting extra effort in building their own houses, in building a good life for them, themselves. But in the end, they cannot enjoy it. They have lost the meaning that being God's people gives them. They are the ones that God has chosen to dwell among them. And in choosing them, God chose to dwell among them, and it is the temple, the instrument, the symbol by which God is going to mediate His presence among them. So they are also losing the sense of a higher purpose. You know, at this point of redemption history, it was necessary the rebuilding of the temple. And you would say, why? If you already said in past sermons that Jesus Christ is the true temple. Yeah, but the prophecies required a physical temple where Jesus, the Son of God, the fulfillment of this physical temple would come in and we worship, and we also clean it, cleanse it, if you remember. So they are losing the higher purpose in the history of redemption as a people for God. Israel has no passion for the temple, no passion for the plan of redemption. They have turned to themselves, and they are finding it very disappointing. So, how about you? Where are you looking for meaning, purpose, freedom? And let me ask you, have you found it? Or are you feeling disappointed? And if you haven't found it in the gospel, that's what we all need. My third point, I want to show how the gospel is the solution for this disappointment and lack of sense or meaning or purpose. You know, I am always amazed at how patient God is with us human beings. You know, when Israel returned to the land, the promised land, from the exile, soon after that, between 16 and 20 years after they came back from Babylon, they are in the same situation before going to Babylon, being exiled. They are in the same situation. It's like, what happened with you people? 70 years of captivity didn't serve for anything? And that is a reminder, dear friends, dear church, that we are like that. We are like that. But see that God, instead of punishing them as soon as they stepped out of the way, came to them graciously and called them. And he commanded them to resume the restoration of the temple. See that the word of the Lord came in verse 1, and then in verse 7 also came. Verse 7 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord." Do you hear that? Maybe what you just heard was a command. And maybe this gives you the idea that the Christian life, that walking with the Lord, is all about commands. And maybe that's something that you don't like about Christianity, because you think that all about Christianity is about no's. Don't do this, don't do that, you know, all commandments. But I want to point out to you that this is actually a gracious invitation to join God in his work of redemption. When God commanded the people of Israel through the prophet Haggai, God is inviting them to join him in his work of restoration. And yes, it comes in the form of a rebuke, but nevertheless is a gracious, is a caring and loving rebuke. God refused to let them and refused not to be faithful to his word and to his promises. He is going to be faithful. So he's going to move his people to build the temple. It is a gracious, caring, and loving rebuke. An act of God's faithfulness, mercy, and grace. Dear friends, if we are to escape the self-centered, self-absorbed life, God will have to rescue us from it. The message of the gospel is in sharp opposition to the message of our culture. The gospel teaches us that in order to live, we have to die to ourselves. That to find yourself, you need to find Christ. That to have life, you need to lose your life. You know, the gospel can show us not only that is the case, but actually can make you willing and able to die to yourself. The gospel can show us that God is the only one who can fully and truly satisfy us. He's the one who can give us meaning, purpose, and freedom. At the beginning of the sermon, I started mentioning how when we turn to ourselves, we may start using everything that God gives us. Everything. Time, money, possessions, family, for our own self gain. And the reason is because it's inevitable. If you are turning from God, then you are going to use, or we are going to use, the things that God gives us to give us purpose, meaning, pleasure, satisfaction. But the gospel calls you, instead of looking to yourself, to look to God. And you know, my friend, when God reveals any sin in your life, like what he's doing here with the people of Israel, He does it not to condemn you. When he reveals that there is something wrong in your life, he does it not to condemn you, but to forgive you. Because he is a gracious God. Every time he reveals how ugly you are, how ugly I am, it is an opportunity for me, for you, to repent. Everything he shows your sins is because he wants to forgive you, as he did it with the people of Israel. He is calling us today to live as forgiven people. But not only that, the gospel is the good news that Christ died for you and for living a self-absorbed, self-centered life. And he wants to empower you. He wants to give you meaning, purpose, and freedom. Will you consider today come to him? If you don't know him, if you don't have a relationship with him, if you are visiting for the first time and you don't know what this power is, would you consider Christ as the way to satisfy the deepest desires in your heart? Please stand.